This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, June 7th, 2015, episode 25. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me from all the way across the country, Brian with an I, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Not too much. I'm glad that we were able to still do this. We weren't sure if this would actually work, and it seems like everything's working good. You're coming through clear. Picture looks good.
This is a very, very interesting setup that we've got going on here. But we're here. We're live. We have not missed a week, Brian. We've done 25 weeks straight.
Yep.
And next month will be 6 months, actually, of doing the show each and every week. And, well, this is Infection. We bring you the latest news on H1Z1. And we have a lot to talk about this week. So let's get right into it, Brian. The patch that was pushed back last week, which was originally supposed to be the 7.2 patch, I believe. Or it was actually supposed to be the 30th.
The June 30th patch. It was a day early, right? Or was supposed to be.
Then it got pushed. Then didn't it get pushed to the 2nd?
And then they pushed out another week, yeah.
After a week of dealing with issues internally, which, you know, I'm going to give props to Daybreak here. I'm glad they held it back, right? Because if they pushed it out on the 2nd, the 3rd was a holiday in the United States, or it was a holiday weekend, so a lot of people weren't working. It would have just been a total and complete utter disaster if they had pushed out that patch with so many bugs. So they've actually done a lot, and we talked a lot about it last week because it's been on the test server, but there's some stuff that they added to the game. And I'm going to say the biggest thing, Brian, is probably the weather system that's implemented into the game now. On the servers, you're going to have there's like the heavy clouds are in there, the fog is in there, the rain is in there. I don't think the snow is in there yet. They showed that on their video,
preview thing, but they didn't actually put it on this release. They said they were going to hold off on rain, and as you said, rain was put in there, so I was kind of surprised about that.
We'll see some weather features in the game, and that's actually live now. But the other thing is the military checkpoints and the camp that they've added up on the governor's highway mansion, or on the road up to the governor's mansion, the governor's highway there. That's also in the game as well, and there's a lot of new stuff that they've added to that, and we're going to show some images a little bit later that show all of the tents and the buildings and all the other things that they've added to that area, because previously that was completely empty. There were maybe 6 or 8 of those watchtowers there, and that was it. So that they've added implemented some different buildings and stuff to that, and that's all good in there. And then after that, they've fix the grenades, because their grenades have been in the game. How long would you say they've been in there, Brian?
I mean, it's probably been about a month.
Maybe? Yeah. The grenades have been in there, but now they have made it so that they can now be thrown by clicking the left mouse button only. You no longer have to, like, the kind of way it was doing it, it was like the right mouse was kind of like aiming it, and then the left was throwing it, but now you can like quick throw it by just pressing the left mouse button.
It was very complicated to sit there and try to throw a grenade.
And the whole thing with grenades is they're supposed to be quick. So you want, you want to be able to just press one button and have those grenades get thrown. And that's what they've added with that. And it will also
Did they let you put the grenades in the quick slot? That's one thing I haven't noticed. I put the binoculars, and you're able to put the light in the quick slot, but I haven't noticed about the actual grenades going there.
I don't know if they'll go in the quick slot, but the really nice thing here is that it will automatically reload another grenade if you have another one in your inventory. So that's nice. If you're trying to frag somebody out of an area, it's not like you have to sit there, throw it, go into your inventory, drag another one in, throw another one. It's going to be nice and simplistic, and it's going to reload those ones automatically as long as they're in your inventory.
So another thing they've added is a unique reticle that is going to be on the bow. So when you're aiming with a bow, They've changed that around a few times. So I think last, wasn't it a dot? Because they've had
wasn't it initially a dot and that then it was a crosshair?
Or and then it was a crosshair, and now they're having more unique ones. So sometimes it's hard to see when it's the dot. It's hard to see it on the screen.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that this makes it so it's a lot more visible.
Is we mentioned a few weeks ago, and I got a lot of crap for it, but changing the color of your reticle. Because right now it's white, and now with the new sun effects that are in the game and the flares and everything else, having a hot pink reticle or a yellow or a lime green, just something that's going to pop from your background is really, really important. And that has yet to be implemented, which I really think would help, because on a sunny day when the haze is coming through the trees, you're just not going to see that. You're not going to see that crosshair, that reticle. You're just not going to see it.
That's exactly it. They're going to have to get to where it actually stands out as they come up with all these different screen effects and, you know, it'll become more and more important to be visible, because that dot is just not quite enough. I don't know why they can't add it to where you can customize it. They've had a couple different kinds in there. A long time ago, I know we mentioned that they wanted it to where everyone had the same thing so that you would be able to give feedback on it. But I think now, you know, they're getting to the point to where, why can't you just choose which reticle you want to use in your settings?
Yeah, they should just have a preset of like five or six reticles. But, you know, the interesting thing is for different guns, like the shotgun reticle is a circle, which which I like, because that's more depictive of what a shotgun does, right? You get that circular range from a shotgun when you shoot it. So they're trying to make every gun unique. And in that case, you know, doing the reticle for that is something. So that's good there. And that's just for the bow. That's not for every weapon. It's just a new one for the bow. And then they've also added the new crate, Brian. Do you have some information about the crate?
So one of our clan members was saying that he had received an actual key too. Like they'd give him a key and a crate. So I'm not sure. He opened it up and he received one of the helmet skins, the tactical helmet skin. So I know that is in place. And it pretty much has the items. I think we showed, was it last week? We showed an image of some of the different items that they're putting in there. But it is
We showed a lot of the new textures and stuff last week. Who gave him did he just say he got a key in his inventory, or did he pay for one?
Yeah, I don't think he paid for it. And it was Falcon. He had gone in there and said that they had given him a key. So I'm not sure. That was kind of strange. Judd from chat said he received the pig mask.
Okay.
So that's been placed, because that wasn't quite in the code. I mean, that one was in the code. There are some things that I think are not for this crate, but some of the images we showed last week are going to be in some future release too, because they're not all in there yet.
Yeah, they're always adding stuff on these test servers, and then that stuff gets implemented into the game, you know, weeks later or whatever else.
Yeah.
They also did some more tweaking with how the grenades are handled, which is nice there. Because, I mean, right now, I mean, let's be honest, the grenades are, like you said, Brian, they're really convoluted to use, or they were really convoluted to use. So they've done some tweaking with that. So throwing the grenades should be more, they're saying, should feel more improved. So that should be an improved system, and it should be easier to do that stuff now.
H1Z1 in our chat linked an image to some of those items. So we'd shown last week those dragon shoes, the ones with the dragon image on the side. Mm-hmm. That one Joker style ski mask that has the target on the head. I don't know if you can see the link in there, but they have a lot of the items that we actually showed last week, the Rasta backpack. Those are all in this vigilante crate. Sun's out, guns out. Did you remember that one? I think we showed that one a while ago.
I think we showed that a few weeks ago now.
So sun's out, guns out, t-shirt, and then those X-ray pants. So all of those are going to be in these crates. So you'll have an opportunity to go in there and win some of these things.
Yep,
and these are more unique items. You know, a lot of these things are very different. I think that's what people like. It's not like we've seen a pig type of mask anywhere else. I mean, this is pretty new and unique.
Yeah, and stuff, definitely the stuff we weren't expecting. Like, we saw that pig mask, and we're like, hey, what is this thing? So the new vigilante crate is in the game, and I think I can show this. Yeah, there we go. And then here's just some of the stuff that you can expect from the crate there. And that's this is a BR crate, correct?
Yeah.
So this is this is a crate that you get from playing BR. So this is, you know, we always talk about how do they get people more into BR, and this is a way to do it, right? Make skins that you will only get if you're playing BR. So this whole skin pack is evolved around people having and actually spending time in Battle Royale, which is nice because it's getting more people into that game mode and getting more people, I guess, you know, people that are playing H1Z1 an incentive.
I think BR. This, along with those upcoming statistics, for some people, that's what this is all about. I think the statistics are going to make a big difference for a majority of the crowd that are really wanting to see how they stand up against other people, because you can only go in there so long. And once you have a lot of these skins, I mean, what's really the point of going into BRs other than for your own enjoyment? I think a lot of people will be driven by those statistics.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it gives you something like, hey, look, my name's up in the top 10, right? You know, something to work for. Right now, it's just you just play with your friends or you play alone and, you know, maybe you hope you get a good highlight in your recording or something. And that's about it at this point. Going back to reticles, Brian, they've removed the dot reticle.
Okay, so that was the one we were saying that's really hard to see.
Yeah, from the iron sights on all the guns. So any of the the way I'm interpreting this, and because I'm on the road, I don't have the availability to play here. What I'm thinking they're doing with this, Brian, is when you scope in, it's getting rid of that dot. When you're in third person and you're not scoped in, I would imagine that dot is still there.
Yes, because when it says iron sights, I was running around with the bow today and I didn't even notice. So, I mean, it's not such a drastic change to where it looks way different. Yeah, and I was shooting the bow quite a bit today. So,
so that's subtle. The bear behaviors, we talked about this last week, and we covered that last week about how the bears are no longer these killing machines, and you know they're gonna you know give you an audible notification now when you get too close, and if you keep getting closer, then they'll attack you. But they're
saying
not going to do as much damage.
Escape from a bear is now a possibility. So it's not like a guaranteed death sentence the second a bear aggro's on you.
Yeah, because previously, bear aggroed on you, you either had a teammate that helped you out or you just died.
Last week, I tried jumping on a vehicle. I tried all kinds of things and the bear still killed me. So this will be kind of nice.
Now you have a better chance.
Yeah, you'll have a chance to actually run away. So now Team BRs are remaining on the test server. So those are not released onto the main servers yet. I actually went in to go test one, and the person that was with me crashed. from our chat here, we went into a Team BR. He crashed out in the lobby. So the second, it didn't kick me out of the lobby or do anything, but the second that the game started, it booted me out. Because when one person dies, you know, it removes you. So yeah. I didn't actually get to experience the Team BRs quite yet.
Okay.
I was so close.
Yeah, so there's going to be stuff going on with that. They also did some game fixes, Brian. Fixed some bugs and stuff that people are having. You want to go into those?
Yeah, so first-person servers and hardcore battle royales no longer show the camera inside the player character driving vehicles. So I think this is where people that were in the cars, like you would see them from the teeth. Do you remember that? I think this is what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. We saw a few times people being infected, and you would just see everything glowing.
No, I think this is where you know how on first person inside of a car you see people from the teeth, like you can see their teeth.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying. There was a picture on Reddit a while ago, and the guy was infected, so everything was glowing red, and because of that camera angle, like you could really see everything on the front face.
Yeah, so that's something that they've fixed. And then they adjusted the iron sights on the AR-15 and AK-47, mm-hmm. which you're pretty much just going to have to go in and see for yourself. You fixed a bug with tree shadows, sometimes not rendering in a halo around the player. So this was that case where you would run around, like if you're in the forest, you would see a circle around you where the shadows were just being odd. So they said they fixed that because you would have shadows all around you, but then there would be a circle around you there were no shadows. It'd be lighter. So that is working. And then they fixed exploit where player could hide in a tree by exiting a vehicle. So someone would pull up next to the vehicle, exit the vehicle, and then they would end up inside of a tree. And I think they'd have the ability to shoot from inside of that tree. But you couldn't shoot them, if I remember correctly, because we've seen this.
They were one with the tree. They were literally the tree.
So you could sit there and try to shoot the tree, but they can shoot out of the tree. So there's, it's definitely a problem. Imagine if they did that in, if they were able to guess close enough in BR.
And win.
Yeah, I mean, they, as long as you're within range where they could shoot you, they would win.
Yeah. So that was a pretty big... We didn't see it as much, because like in BR, it was... I mean, like you said, Brent, you'd have to guess. You'd have to be like, oh, well, I think the zone's going to be over here, and then get into a tree.
Yep. So that is today's... I mean, that's the patch that came out earlier today.
Yeah, so that's now... That's live on all of the servers, and the wipe was also included with that. The wipe that they had announced, what, 4 weeks ago? Now it feels like it's been a month since they announced this wipe, and it's now actually implemented and in the game.
And we had, I think, a 25-minute wait time this morning to be able to get into two servers.
Now, I just logged... Yeah, I logged on just to create my character and reserve my name, and it was like a 38-minute wait time, which is pretty wild. Did you actually get in?
Yeah, I got in. I ran around for a while.
What is... I mean, what are people looking like so far? Are you already seeing structures and bases and stuff going up in the areas that you played in?
Yeah. Where I was running around, I ran into a clan, an Asian clan. They didn't speak any English. But they were setting up a base near where we were at. So there's definitely groups. And it was a clan of probably about 5 or 6 people that were in that group near us. Mm-hmm. And then I ran into some people along one of the truck stops along the south of the map. I mean, there's bases. It's not littered, of course, but there are a few shacks mostly. I haven't seen any major foundations set yet, but they're mostly shacks of people setting up. And I was in pretty close to after the wipe was finished, so there wasn't enough time to people really get settled yet.
Yeah. So people are, you know, we see, it's funny. We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show when we talk about the current players. But H1Z1 is going to see a spike of players for, I'd say, probably the next 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. Yeah,
once people get all built up and geared up, all the people that join just because of the wipe will most likely, you know, die out and stop playing as much. But the nice thing is they threw a post on Reddit earlier today just saying, hey, today's patch day. And they're seeing reports of issues on the live servers, and they were asking for people's issues and stuff like that.
The game update bug list.
Yeah, which is currently the top post on Reddit. And there's a bunch of big issues, and one being crashing in cities, which seems to be the biggest issue right now. There's a post on Reddit. There'll be a link in the show notes when that gets up. But there's people crashing in cities all over the map. And this is not like a very sporadic issue. I think it's like the first 5 or 6 Reddit comments are all people saying, yeah, I have this exact same problem. This is not a very scattered problem. And one person on here, I think it's the person that submitted it, is saying this was not on the test server. So I think we're going to go back to this thing, Brian, where the test servers and the live servers are not the same thing. They're not identical clones, because problems that are not on the test server somehow make it to the live server. And I'm not sure how that's possible.
See, and
the live server is exactly what the test server
is. This is something I had said before. They really need to have it to where the live server is a week advance, you know, build of what's going to be on that next patch. Even if it's from Thursday to Tuesday, we should have that Thursday to Tuesday of the actual build that is going to be live that Tuesday. I mean, that for me, that just makes sense, to where there's nothing added or changed to it. If they're going to put out a bug fix, put it out on the test server, not on the live server, and then that's what's going to be rolled out. I mean, if they have something that's game-breaking, like, you know, when you go into a city and it's crashing, patch that on both servers so you still know exactly what's going to be on that test server and then what's exactly going to be on the live server next Tuesday. I don't understand how they get these differences between the two. There should be an exact same build.
Yeah, and that's kind of... And it's frustrating, right? Because the whole point of these test servers are supposed to be useful, right? And they're supposed to be fixing these bugs so that you're not going into their live server and crashing. And I think they should
create more of an incentive for people to go on the test servers, though. Because how much of an incentive is there for you? I know you've said, I don't really want to go put a lot of time into a test server because there's not anything there for you.
My incentive for getting on the test server as of right now is to get stuff for the show, content for the show. That's literally my use.
But for your average player, I think if they added some sort of an incentive of, if you play on the test server for a certain amount of time, or you know, you put it, you do a certain amount of things on a test server that maybe you'd get rewards of skins in the regular server. Something, you get some sort of a reward. I mean, that makes sense to me. And of course, we've talked about having the Ferment's talking about in chat spawning items, having it be more of a creative mode server. That would be an incentive because that would be something different than the normal server that they can do.
Yeah, so really just survival mode or the creative mode would be useful. And then there's, of course, some other stuff too to get people on those test servers and getting those tried out. But I think one of the issues we're seeing, like you said, Brian, is that they're doing builds so quickly, fixing little things, that there's not enough time for them on the test server for people to find out issues. I think that's realistically what the biggest problem is.
Yeah.
There's just not enough time.
That's where they're going to have to figure out a way to really get people into those test servers. Because as we've talked about, there's no incentive to do it. If they could come up with something to where, if I do this, I have the chance, maybe there's some sort of a random thing to where you might be rewarded a key, you know, as you play for, let's say, hours on the test server, a key that you can use on the regular server.
Yeah.
I mean, would that be enough of an incentive, or maybe for somebody who doesn't want to buy keys or buy crates?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Or even have a system like where if you report X amount of bugs from the test server or something like that, it's like a counting thing. You link your issue tracker account or something to the test, to your Daybreak account. And you know, for every bug you submit and gets confirmed and submitted and gets patched, give them a key. Yeah. I mean, give people a reason to go out and find bugs. You know, just like these multi-million-dollar companies are paying hackers $10,000 to find exploits in their software. Because the incentive is there. People are going to do it. So that's something similar that they need to do. Give people keys if they find, big issues. Or, let's say they find 5 issues on a test server. Something like that.
Now, Adam Clegg put out a tweet earlier today saying that they're working on fixing bugs right now. They're trying to get the major ones fixed as soon as possible. So they do see these, and I'm assuming they'll have some sort of a quick little fix that's going to be out sometime tonight. Tomorrow morning at the latest. I can't imagine them letting... not having the ability to go into cities without a good possibility of it crashing. They're not going to let that go because that's mainly where these people are going right now, trying to get loot.
Yeah. Now, Brian, I've got a bit of a rant to go on here. And this was submitted a day ago by Legion CM on Reddit. And he said that he's seen numerous reports of people saying there's a food and hydration bug. And the first comment on here is by a guy named Shadow2K1. And his post is just like the fact that they're not even using their own issue tracker. He posts a link to 3 of his own issue tracker submitted bugs that have all been opened but have not been addressed. So why are they not using their own issue tracker? This is asinine. They have this issue tracker and they don't freaking use it.
Didn't we talk about this last week? I mean, I think we mentioned this last week that it doesn't, they're, because they were asking for reports in Reddit, yet there's tons of reports in the issue tracker.
Why can they not, whose job is it to look at the issue tracker and cannot pass along? This guy has submitted one person has submitted three bugs about the hydration issue. Three. And then we've got Legion CM going up over here on Reddit and posting, I've heard this issue about the hydration bug. Yeah, there's currently three issues opened by the same guy on the issue tracker.
Yeah.
And it's not being resolved. I mean, that's just crazy. I
saw someone that put out a post here on Reddit saying, hey, why don't we make this July like the pretty much just a fix month? Putting out new content.
Yeah, that's in the show notes there. That's just, he is essentially saying he wants July to be a quality of life. And I agree with him.
The whole month of quality of life.
And it almost, if we're going to get into the roadmap next here, but the roadmap almost reflects the possibility of it being almost a quality of life. There are very little big things this month.
So it's not like what we've been seeing in the past months to where there is just a long list of things that are being, addressed or added, new things. It's they're adding a few things each week, And then, but the actual patch notes are longer. So I would be thinking that, okay, they're going to add a few major things and then they're going to be adding a lot of bug fixes. And I would be totally happy with that. I don't need a lot of major new things. You know, adding one thing every week for me is enough. I don't need a list of 5 to 6 major changes because I've noticed that that brings a lot more problems.
Yeah, that's when you run into the issues where, you know, there's no audio in the game or this is broken or that is broken. Well, when those bigger things are added. So this is breaking news.
H1Z1 in chat, he says, and this is their response. We are using the issue tracker. I posted the thread so that we can get the more reports so they can be recreated on their end. And yes, it's been on the issue tracker, but there aren't detail enough on there for them to be able to reproduce and find the logs for them. So, I mean, that does make sense. If they have it in the issue tracker, it's just someone going in and saying, I have this problem. It happens when I do this. But it's not that, like, it's linked to an account where they can go pull. And we did talk about, I think, in the last 2 weeks, them pulling people's logs.
I get that, but then why are they doing it on Reddit? If it's on the issue tracker, you have to sign up for the issue tracker. It's not anonymous. So why aren't they not messaging the people on the issue tracker? I mean,
well, I don't know how,
if they wanted to get more information from this guy, if they wanted to get more info from this guy, they could have just sent him a message or PM'd him. So maybe they need to integrate the issue tracker with the form to your Daybreak account. So that when you post something on the issue tracker.
This is a bug, and there's H1Z1 saying this in chat. This has been plaguing them for some time. It's been something that you'll get it to where randomly your hydration and your whatever stats just go to zero, or they seem like they're zero. I've found that if you carry berries around, you eat a berry, and then your stats go back to normal. And then a little bit later, they'll drop back down again.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's just a really weird bug. You eat 2 berries, and that's your actual health or your actual food and hydration, and then it just deteriorates. It's something like that. There was a post on Reddit a while ago about how to actually find your health when you have that issue. So let's get into the roadmap. This is breaking news. I don't have the sound effect, but they just posted the July roadmap. And like Brian said, it's pretty light, but there are, you know, there's room for them to make this a quality of life. There's room for there to be, you know, game-breaking issues being fixed in these patches because they're so lightweight, you know, most of them, that it allows them to do that stuff. So the first thing is going to be the leaderboards. And we showed that last week. We showed the video of the 4 different leaderboards that are going to be available in the Box of Destiny. That's the Battle Royale starting area. And it just says, there's 4, but on here they say there's going to be daily, weekly, monthly, and there's also going to be a special leaderboard. And the one thing, and I'll say it again like I did last week, it doesn't mention the online leaderboards, which there was a mention of. Originally, when they started talking about these leaderboards, they said they would be in-game, in the Battle Royale lobby, and online. And so
maybe
far,
that's something they can address in chat. I mean, we haven't seen any kind of a post saying, hey, we're going to have this in this one place on our website. Mm-hmm. You know, where are they going to show those leaderboards? Is it going to be maybe on the launcher? I mean, because they do show things on the launcher. Maybe it'll be a page on the launcher that says, here's, you know, that'll kind of flip by.
Yeah, it would be nice to have those leaderboards available outside of the game, though. Like, because
so he is saying that they're gonna get the API out there so people can use it. So that will allow people to put the leaderboards on their websites for them to be able to pull those numbers. So that is one way.
So then you'll have a community website basically come up that'll be like the H1Z1 leaderboard. And, you know, it'll just have all the leaderboards and all the different categories
and
stuff like
that. He is saying that they will eventually have them on their site as well. So they're going to allow for the community to pull those statistics first. And then they'll have it to where they actually have a leaderboard page or section on their website.
And so just clarify, the in-game one will be the only one that is added come the 14th. So a week from now.
Yes.
There will be no API on the 14th. As it stands right now. So just you'll see them in game when you're loading in that Box of Destiny, and they'll be there for you to take a look at. Brian and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, but the grenades. They're making it so that the grenades are more unique now, and they're making it so that you have the ability to pull the pin, cook the grenade, which is essentially waiting, then throw it, and then it basically you time it so that it explodes right on impact and it doesn't have time to roll around.
And here's a nice thing too. They're adding an animation, and I said it almost wrong, an animation support to help you know where the grenade's going to land. So that'll be a nice thing, because right now you can't really base it off the reticle or anything like that. It's really hard to know where that grenade's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're throwing it and it's not cooked enough to where it's going to land and not just blow up midair. It's really hard to gauge. I don't have a good estimation of where that grenade, how far that grenade's going to go.
Yeah. So I would imagine it's going to be like a little hatched line that'll kind of make an arc in the air or something like that. Yeah. That'll kind of show an estimate of where it's going to be. That's what I would assume.
Yeah, and that'll be fun to see, because that'll be a new thing that they're adding. I haven't seen anything else in game that kind of shows here's our estimated landing point. So that's definitely new code they're adding in. And then here's one thing that's also new: AK-47 crafting recipe. So we haven't seen any gun skins yet, right? Everybody keeps bringing up, what about gun skins? What about gun skins? So they're going to actually have it to where the AK-47 can be skinned into a semi-auto rifle. So that's something that everybody's been asking for. But it's not going to be like a skinned AK-47. It's actually going to change it to a different gun,
which is really cool. This is customization stuff that we've been talking about for a while. Yeah. Having customization, being able to do different stuff with guns. This is going to be a really cool feature that's going to be added to the game.
Now, so this is not what I expected. I was expecting it to be a different look of the same gun, yeah. Not to make it to where it's a gun that actually fires differently. What's your take on that? Do you think that that's how you would want it to be, to where it's not that you're getting a different AK-47, you're actually getting a totally different gun?
I think there's room for both, right? There's room for them to do this, where you're kind of modifying. We always talk about the modification. You have the availability to modify a currently existing gun, but then you also, like you said, Brian, skins, and having the availability to have the same gun, but with, we talk about attachments, maybe red dot sights and stuff like that. So adding both of those to the game, I don't think is a problem. So this is just like the first step to that. It's going to be interesting to see what you do to turn that into a different gun. Like, what do you add? What combined with the AK-47 is going to make it?
It's a crafting recipe.
Yeah. So what else is going to be it?
It's not a skin. I was thinking it was a skin. So it's a new recipe added so that you can actually, so it'll take the AK-47 probably as a recipe item.
Yeah. So you'll have the AK-47, and then I'm wondering what other objects you will need to make it to the semi-automatic AK.
I don't know.
And will you be able to switch it back?
There are gun parts which no one's really used before, right?
So then, yeah, that's probably what it will be.
Because I haven't heard anything about gun parts. So maybe this will be an opportunity for them to start giving people a reason to dismantle guns, to get those gun parts to be able to upgrade their current gun.
Yeah. That'll be nice stuff.
It's a possibility. Added. I mean, that's totally my guess, but that seems like that would be a use of that item that's currently, who uses gun parts.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll have to see come next week how that works and if you can go back and forth in that whole thing. But that's the July 14th update. So like we said, pretty lightweight, right?
We usually don't jump ahead, but I asked Nick, I said, hey, can we talk about this next one? Because this is something that's pretty cool. They're actually adding, in the week after, a new zombie type.
Yeah, so this is July 21st as it currently sits on the roadmap. And this is a big one. This would be one that I would not be surprised if it is pushed back a little bit because of the significance of this patch. This one is going to add professions to the game. So this is the system that we talked about a few weeks ago now. This is where you're going to basically pick what your character was before the zombie apocalypse, the profession that they were. And this will give you unique things when you spawn in. It'll give you different bonuses, like maybe your stamina won't decrease as fast, your hunger may not decrease as fast, stuff like that. Now, we go back to this, Brian. The wipe just happened, and it's July 7th. I would imagine there's going to be a patch for this one, or a wipe for this one as well, because you're going to have some users that have the availability to do this and some users that won't. And that's not really fair to those users that, for example, have built bases, right? You're not going to delete your character account if you'd built a base.
Well, What if they created a system to wear on your next death? You don't already have a profession, it would pop up a thing giving you the choice. I mean, that would be a simple way to avoid a wipe. Bring up on next death at that screen for this coming life. We want you to choose a profession before you respawn.
Yeah. So I would hope for something like that, because if that's the case, we're 2 weeks away from another wipe, which is not the best thing, right?
Since H1Z1 is in here, don't tell anybody. Wipe is going to be in 2 weeks. Don't tell anyone today, because then people won't play for 2 weeks. That's not what we want.
So
we'll just assume that the wipe's not going to happen.
All right. You can assume whatever you like, Brian. I like your idea of the death screen thing, but I don't want you to, it needs to be a one-time thing per character.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. This isn't going to be like a permanent thing, but just for this initial, since you haven't created a character since, we want you to choose this now. And this is just a temporary thing to avoid a wipe.
Okay. Yeah.
They could come up with things to do this if they decide that there are certain features that you want to choose per death. I mean, they could implement that code later, but currently I don't know. I can't imagine what you'd want to do that with.
Okay. So then maybe we'll see that coming in. Now, this next one, Brian, is one that you're really excited about. This is a new zombie to the game.
Yep.
Currently, there's one type of zombie, and they all act the same.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's like two looks of zombies, maybe three. I mean, there's a few looks of zombies. They're slightly different.
But there's one AI.
But they all do the same thing.
Yeah. So you seem really pumped about this, Brian. So I'm going to let you take this one away.
All right.
So what this is this, and what can people expect?
This type is called the Screamer. And this is a zombie that you will find sitting alone in different places throughout the map. And if you fail to kill it silently, it's going to get up and run away. Now, this is one thing that we're kind of perplexed about. It will run away from you, screaming the whole time. And that scream is going to draw zombies in. And this zombie's going to have increased health. So it's not like regular zombies where if you can get a headshot, they die instantly. Maybe it'll take more than a headshot. Or maybe, like with a bow, it'll be a couple of shots to the body and the head, making it harder for you to take them down. And this is somewhat similar to Left 4 Dead. I mean, we discussed this. There is the witch in Left 4 Dead. The witch attacks you, though, right? The witch will stand up, scream, and it's like a super zombie.
Yeah, so in Team Fortress, or not Team Fortress, geez, in Left 4 Dead 2, the way the witch works is it's similar to this. It's a loner. It's sitting in the corner. It's crying. And if you shoot at it or blow something up near it or get too close to it, it will aggro on you. It runs toward you and screams and attracts other zombies. This one is different in the sense that once you aggro it, it's going to start running away. So now it's your job to chase it down and kill it.
But will those zombies that are aggro to it be aggro to you? Like the zombies that hear the scream of the zombie, are they going to have aggro on you, not on that zombie?
I'm thinking this thing isn't going to sprint. I'm thinking when it says run away, the thing is just going to start kind of like walking away from you. And those zombies instantly are going to be like, I don't think it's going to be a full on sprint where if you just let it run, you can just run the other direction. And you'll be fine. Like there's in some way, the zombie's got to be attached to you. Cause if that's the case, you aggro it. And
all
it
you
runs.
Do is aggro it and it will draw the zombies away from you realistically.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's sure. So it's got to be something to where those zombies that aggro, they say it will run away and camp out again somewhere close but out of sight. The new zombies will aggro to you. Okay. So that's what I was saying is it seems like the zombies that it aggros should have aggro on you, not on itself, because all you have to do is make a mad and all the zombies would walk away from you, right?
Yeah.
So this is one that it's going to aggro a bunch of zombies on you, get away, and then there's a possibility that it's going to, you could aggro it again.
Now, this seems like this is a big clan thing. Like, this is something you would want to roll across with, like, three or four people, right? This is not something you're going to want to combat 1v1.
And you're going to have to time out your shots. Like, if you're going to shoot it, you want to make sure that you all take it down at once as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And on here, this kind of hinted to us that the zombies are going to be more aggro to sound because we haven't seen that as much. Like, if you, like right now, flares and different things don't seem to aggro zombies. We keep hearing that there's going to be noisemakers and things like that. So this is where the zombies are actually being aggroed to some of these sounds. So that seems like that code is being implemented and used now. So that'll be fun to see, to where maybe if you throw a grenade, more zombies will come.
Well, the other interesting thing is how, like in Left 4 Dead, you could hear the thing crying from a distance.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there going to be a thing that you notice? Something I haven't talked about yet. I mean, what's going to make it so you know that zombie is different? Is it visually going to be that much different to where there's no mistaking that that's what that kind of zombie is?
Well, maybe it'll be something where it's like crouched down or sitting down. I mean, previously or currently, the zombies don't sit, right? They're just always in an upright position. So maybe it'll be crouched down. There's got to be something that besides how it looks to alert you if you're, you know, if that's the wrong zombie you don't want to be messing with. And it's going to be interesting to see what the radius is for that.
And I'm like interested to hear the scream effect, because I hope it's not some really ridiculous, you know, like silly scream. It'll be interesting to see how they,
like, they just asked one of their developers to just yell into a microphone.
Yeah, let's yell into a microphone and here it is.
Adam, get over here. We need the scream effect for the zombie.
So, and this kind of leads into, on the 28th, they're going to add a noisemaker grenade, kind of like what we were saying, to where you actually will be able to throw a grenade, and then that noise will attract zombies.
This is going to be great for raiding stuff and screwing with other groups. This is going to be great where you take this noisemaker and you just launch it near somebody else's base, and all those zombies are aggroed. I mean, that's going to be really good, especially if you know of an active group that's trying to do stuff. I mean, that's just a colossal pain, right? Having that noisemaker. You know, is this going to be a noisemaker where it expires after a certain amount of time, or is it something that you have to blow up or shoot at it for it to stop making noise?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think this is a good hint at maybe, you know, things that you can, traps you can put on the ground for people. That'd be kind of a fun thing to do, like put a trap on the ground that when someone goes across it, it makes a large amount of noise, which will attract zombies. I mean, there's a lot of things they could start doing with this type of tech, I guess, if you want to call it that. But you know, like a little tripwire. Have it to where a tripwire goes off. I mean, they haven't really implemented those for bases, but imagine if you could go out and craft a tripwire so that when someone's walking, they can't see it very easily, but, you know, it just makes noises. You know, set them down in Pleasant Valley. That'd be a perfect place. There's a lot of zombies. You start aggroing them all in there.
Another thing that they're going to be adding, this is the July 28th patch, the marketplace. So right now you have to log in game to open crates and stuff like that, which can be kind of a pain. But now you're going to have the option to click on this marketplace tab and you'll be able to open crates and stuff without logging into a server. So that's just kind of a nice
interface for it.
Ease of use thing, right? Where you don't have to worry about logging into a PvE server or something like that to open up a crate.
Now the meat grenade. This is one thing. Now I'm hearing lag from you, and I don't know if it's for everyone or if it's just me. But they're going to be having a meat grenade, which is not really a meat grenade. It's a heat grenade. And so it's going to be a grenade that creates a large area of heat. It's supposed to draw zombies to it, and it's going to explode after a long fuse to make sure that the zombies have enough time to get to it. So, yeah, I don't know if that lag is me or if it's you. In chat, maybe they can tell us if I'm lagging as well.
No, I think it's probably just the connection here.
Okay. I mean, you're fine right now, so we're cool.
Yeah, hotel internet. Not always the best thing for doing
it's a live show.
Hey, we're here.
But anyways, that's the heat grenade. I'm sure that they're going to go. I don't think it's supposed to be the meat grenade. I was telling Nick before the show, I was like, well, what do you throw it and like a bunch of meat you can cook comes out?
It's just wolves everywhere. The entire server, just every wolf in the server is attracted to your area instantly.
That would be, you could throw a grenade that throws meat and bears and wolves come out of nowhere.
It's just a chunk of meat.
You just throw the meat. I am throwing a meat at you. It says it's a chunk of meat attached to a grenade. Well, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
I can't tell if he's joking. Maybe it is supposed to be the meat grenade.
No, but it is.
Is it a grenade attached to meat?
I think so.
Okay, I thought it was just misspelled.
No.
Okay, it's a meat grenade. That's funny.
I thought it was a heat grenade.
Yeah, I thought it was, since it was talking about heat. No, it's real. Okay, so the zombies are attracted to the meat, right? So you throw the meat and the grenade, so the zombies are attracted to the meat. And so what they're saying by a large area of heat is that it's bringing the heat of the zombies, you know, like aggro heat, right? We always talk about that. Yes. Oh, wow, you've got your aggro, your heat level. Okay, so that is your aggro of the zombies in, and then the grenade explodes. So that makes sense. All right, meat grenade. So it is correct. Oh, okay. Well, that's funny.
I believe so. I mean, I think.
They're saying it is, yes, aggro heat. Okay, so it's bringing aggro heat. So I figured because they were talking about the aggro heat that was supposed to be also a heat grenade. So it's a meat grenade that uses the aggro heat to pull the zombies in and then explodes. So that is the new meat grenade. So that's going to be the 28th.
I'm glad we got that all straightened out.
Yeah, because I just figured it was a spelling thing that they were going to have to fix later.
No, I don't think so. So that's...
Yeah, the H1Z1 confirmed it in chat. So that is correct how it's written up there. Or it's just
a big troll. That is the month of July on the road map. Now, of course, that stuff changes, right? Once the patches actually come out, there's more stuff that's added. And like I said at the beginning, it gives them room to add different stuff and fix bugs and whatever throughout that road map or throughout the entire month. Except for that, the 21st, that's kind of
he's explaining heat because I was making references to it, but, H1Z1 in a chat here's him explaining heat. So heat is a term we use like heat map. The more you do, the more sound you make, the larger your heat grows. So like with a screamer, it sets your heat to max. So it makes it so that you have, if you think of the range of, like when you're walking loudly versus walking quietly, if you're walking very quietly, your heat map is very close to you. You don't have a large range of heat that's being drawn to you. If you walk maybe in louder shoes, you're running, your heat map will grow to where zombies will aggro from farther out from you. And then when you activate the screamer zombie, your heat gets set to max. So whatever that max range of aggro is, if there are zombies within that range, they will aggro and come to you. So that is heat.
Yep. Pretty much the higher your heat, the higher chance a zombie is going to aggro on you. That's essentially how that system works.
Yep.
So Brian, right before the show, I was like, hey, has Sebastian posted anything this week? Because Sebastian seems to be our guy. I checked
earlier. No, he hadn't, but he put one out here a little bit ago.
Yeah. So this is cool. This is a... blood effect, like screen or like a shooting blood effect when you kill a zombie. It's like a blood spray effect here. So,
and I'm sure that they'll be able to use this in regular players as well. This isn't going to be limited to just the zombies. I mean, this will be an effect that if you headshot a player, it would make sense that this would happen as well.
Yep, and pretty much. I mean, you could see it right there. It's just. Just, you know, this blood effect that the zombie has.
And I'm sure that trajectory perfectly matches probably the direction of the bullet. I would assume that it's not going to be set to where it always goes that direction. So if you're shooting maybe from above, the splatter will go down. But I think that's just them.
I would hope so, because that would be really useful in terms of telling where, like, we have this issue where people get shot inside of our own base from other areas. We have a hard time
telling sometimes where it's coming from.
Yeah. Where is this shot from? If somebody was like, hey, I saw the blood and it's, you know, it's going this way, you can say, all right, well, then the shot came from the opposite direction. Trying to maybe triangulate a shot would be a little bit easier with that as well.
Yeah. And this is always fun. I mean, this is, I'm constantly talking about immersion and just creating these things that are more realistic. Of course, you know, it's not like I'm going to get shot a headshot like that and be able to bandage out of it in real life, but just, you know, those little details for me are what I like. And I think that's cool that they're adding some of those little details because that's the stuff I notice.
Yep.
And then here's one that you put about a HUD.
Yeah, this is really cool. So I'm gonna go into this. Hopefully I'm not lagging too bad now. This was from Reddit, and it was by Byra N 13. And I'm going to show this here. I don't know if it's going to get cut off or not. No, it actually isn't. This is what his thoughts are for a group HUD. And this is really cool here. So there's two people in his group. And this HUD is basically, it shows both of the players. It shows their health. It looks like it shows what weapon they have. It shows their location and how far they are from each other.
No, I think
other.
That's their name. No, so that's his name. So one guy's name is AK-47, oh, okay. Right? So one guy's Ben WXY, and so it shows here's his health, and then here's this other guy whose name is AK-47. Here's his health, and then it'll show their coordinates, so like D5, so not specific coordinates, but general square on the map's coordinates, and then their distance in meters. Now, what's the green and the blue?
I think that may have something to do with color, like group leader or something like that. Or maybe he's just saying different players show up as different colors. I don't know what that means.
So in chat, H1Z1 is saying that they liked it so much that they added something very much like it to their design.
Yeah, that's really cool. That was a really cool fan created thing. And it even shows like Ben WXZ is a female and AK-47 is a male. And it even shows that in the upper left hand corner.
And because they don't have a really ridiculous, like when you create a character, you're choosing every little feature. They mm-hmm. can use, they only have to have, eight? Or is it four? Sorry, four different models for players. So it's not like you Correct. Have to have it's not sending a ton of data for those people. It's going to be one of the two faces for the female, one of the two faces for the male. Just show which one they happen to have picked. The green and the blue, I don't know if maybe that dot that's next to them, maybe that's what he's showing. See how there's a dot next to the name? Maybe that's what he's indicating with the color.
Yeah, I think each player in this case, in his example, each player would have their own color so that you could, just by not looking at somebody's name, you could see the, yeah, exactly. You could see
now,
the color.
Now, this is one thing. Ferment made a comment. Welcome to World of Warcraft. I used to have a ton of mods for GUI on my WoW account. And this is something that I would have to where it would show every character just like this. It's very easy to use, especially if they're going to have it to where you can be a healer for somebody else. It would be very difficult to heal that person if you have to turn around, see them, click something in your inventory or click to have the bandage, and then somehow click, be Hylena on that person. If you could click the bandage while selecting that name, that would be a way to actually heal somebody. Maybe have a character that is a doctor, that it has the ability to heal other people.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of stuff they can do with that HUD, but that's a really, because right now the grouping system.
You could support what, 12 people? I think the current.
Yeah. Is it 10 or 12 before you start a new group or something? People. Yeah.
So you could have a list of 12 names on here.
Yeah, which is nice. That's nice to see who's in your group, right? And their location constantly in our team speak. Who's here? Who's there? Who's in D3?
And you could have it be a cascading list, because Musty was saying, well, what about large groups of people? If it's limited to 12 people, you could have it list. And if it's a small screen, like say small resolution, you can have it to where it shows six. Mm-hmm. You can adjust how many show. Maybe it will always go, okay, if they have a small amount of screen space to use, have it to where it's a list of six and six. Or, even if it's a bigger one, you can have a list of 12 all the way down. You could adjust it to where it's always averaged out, where there's, if it needs space side by side, or try to make a long list.
Yeah, that would be all stuff that they would work into the game, I would think. Or maybe even an option to turn it off, because people may not like it, right? It might be something where like, hey, I don't want this. So that maybe an option to turn that off would be useful too. This next thing is something I kind of hinted at, or I mentioned at the beginning of the show. That outpost, that big mm-hmm. outpost camp on Governor's Highway as you go north towards the Governor's Mansion. There's a really
this
cool
is the one
image
that you
here.
Ran through and you're like, what in the world?
I was like, there's nothing here. I'm not going to go through this whole thing because there's a lot of stuff on here. But and we're just kind of limited on time tonight, but there's a bunch of different buildings on here, and there's just kind of, what this person thinks each thing will be. Some of them are like military beds or bunks with chests. There's mess halls where food would be found. There's military bunks with lockers. So, you know, that possibly, you know, high priority loot in there, ammo, guns, stuff like that. And then there's, of course, the outposts as well. And then there's some tables as you work your way closer to the middle of that outpost as well. And then there's some office weapon lockers, you know, conference rooms, stuff like that as you work your way all the way across that. And then, of course, you're just some of those regular white plastic tables that we see and stuff like that. And I just thought it was a nice little kind of markup of where people think stuff might be. So this is the
two entrances. I mean, the one side has multiple entrances, but still in one spot. So it's pretty much two entry points to this area. And it's a fairly large area. So this is definitely more, I think, of what you were expecting when you heard that this was going to be there. So if they have three of these, weren't they saying three?
Yeah, well, they said four originally.
Sorry, four. Yeah. So there's going to be possibly four things like this across the map.
And remember, it was said during the pre-patch live stream that they want people to build in this area. So there will also be bases in here.
There's probably a limited number of places that you can put a base in this so that it's kind of limited to one or two, you know, a small group. Not like they're going to have bases spread throughout this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, there is one in this picture right here. There is a deck foundation already there. I would imagine that's user placed. I can't imagine what else that would be there. And then there's a shack. It looks like there's a few shacks. That's a nice big area. And there, of course, will also be player stuff there, like I mentioned.
And this will be drawing those players away from Pleasant Valley because too many people always go to Pleasant Valley. I think it's really nice that they have adding some of these things that will pull those people out of Pleasant Valley, get them running around the map some. So that maybe that there's an opportunity at decent loot here. I would expect to find military backpacks because right now to get military backpacks, there's a very limited number of places you can go to get those. I mean, you run to the police station, you run to the fire station, you go up to, the dam, right?
Yeah, the dam. Those are the three places with the weapon lockers. Much it. It's the two police stations, the fire station, and the dam. So you've got four places, or three different places, because the fire station and the police station are both in PV, but four different buildings that have those weapon lockers.
Yeah.
So adding more of those is going to, like you said, Brian, scatter people a little bit.
Now, they're talking in chat a little bit about modding the UI. H1Z1DB in chat saying, you know, you don't want it to be a WoW clone, right? You don't want it to where I would worry with them giving too many tools for modding the UI of the game that people would be able to get information from the server that would be like, okay, there's someone entering. You know, they're going to have to hand information to the client that maybe they normally wouldn't. Or make it more publicly available, and it'd be harder for them to detect whether or not that person is using some sort of cheat, with to taking that information and using it in a cheat. I mean, that would be a big risk for them to actually hand out more information that then you could use in your own way. Because right now it's pretty locked down. They know if you're using information or pulling information from the executable, that most likely you're cheating, right?
Yeah.
If they had it to where they had a mod system, it would be hard for them to know, are you using this to maybe show where other players are on the screen? You know, are you using it some way to give you an advantage over that other player?
Yeah, and I don't think we want a WoW type interface for that either, right? This is not like the WoW rating system. You don't need all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we have people, a bunch of magic people that are you know, casting heals and yeah, buffs. Exactly. And you know, there's nothing very like that. Limited system. But I think that GUI would be nice just so you know who's in your group, because right now you don't really know who's in your squad. When you join a squad, you have to go into your inventory screen, click squad, and then it just has a list of names. And that's all it tells you.
Which is not the most friendly, especially when you're in an area and you're trying to invite people or see who's already in your group. Not the easiest thing, though, especially if you're out in the open. The last thing you want to be doing is tabbing into your inventory.
Yeah. So, I think having some sort of a GUI wouldn't give anyone a benefit, and it's not handing out more information than would be needed. Personally, I think that would be a good step. And obviously, as they said in chat, they like the idea. So it'd be interesting to see how they implement it in comparison to what that guy did.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about current players, Brian. This is something we do every week. And the current players right now are a lot more than we're used to normally seeing on a regular Tuesday evening at around 8 o'clock. There are currently 14,690 people playing as we sit here and talk right now. And that 24-hour peak is higher than we've seen. This is 17,714,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah, now, so it did a decent jump.
Now, the question I pose to you, Brian, is how long will we see almost 15,000 people playing at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, I mean, this will be interesting to see over the next 3 days, because usually you'll have a peak, and then mm-hmm. after the players see maybe new content or whatever it is, build their bases, that starts to drop off. And I've mentioned it week after week or wipe after wipe, that their goal has got to be, okay, we get these players in, and then how do we retain those players over the next, you know, not that they're playing for 3 days, but that they're playing for the month, you know, or until the next wipe. So yeah.
Now, I mean, this weekend is going to be pretty packed, right? You're going to have a lot of people that work during the week that don't have time to get on after work. They're going to be on mm-hmm. this weekend playing. So this weekend is going to be very crowded, but next, you know, mid next week, actually, well, when we do the show next Tuesday, we'll have to see how these numbers look.
Yeah.
Because this is typical, right? This is what we see after every patch. I'm not complaining.
Now, this one peaked a little more than, and Ferment was making a comment that this peaked more than the last wipe.
Yeah.
So last wipe, they had around 9,000 players. This time it did go higher.
Well, no.
And how much of that is the, oh, and this is something that we made a comment on, how much of it is the Steam Summer Sale? Because these are players since the Steam Summer Sale as well.
Yeah. So, well, and the question is, how long will these people play? I mean, if they're not in groups, once the clans get built up and the groups get built up on these servers and start driving the little guys off, that's when you're going to see those numbers start going back down, realistically.
Well, and that's where they've got to come up with a way that they do not, that the larger groups and hackers or whatever it is, don't drive those players off. Whether you retain them with BRs, you know, you just come up with those little things, or, you know, I've said it plenty of times, disable the whole rating system, because how many people, especially for these new players, they'll build up and they haven't come to accept loss like we have. You know, we've come to a point where, you know, you get and you lose. Yeah, that's part of this game. But a lot of these summer sale guys are going to build up and get so attached to their base and all these items that they're going to get raided. And it's just, for them, a lot of people, that'll drive them off. They'll be like, I don't want to play this anymore. So, you know, I mean, I'm personally for almost disabling the rating system until it becomes something bigger.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I think we talked about either last week or the week before extensively about how the rating system, I mean, getting rid of hackers and stopping all that stuff, it would be great.
But I just think if they did that, you wouldn't drive off a lot of these smaller groups of players. Maybe, you know, people that are buying the game together, there's one or two, three people.
Yeah, but then again, at the same point, you don't want to make the precedent of them not have to worrying about being raided.
I think until the rating system has time to be looked at, because I don't feel like they've really put a lot of thought into the rating system. It seems like it's always an afterthought.
Yeah.
Of let's make something so you can blow up things, and then we run into a lot of bugs. Until they get it to where with bases, you know, the base building is figured out, certain things are figured out to where, you know, then they say, okay, well, how can people raid this to where it doesn't drive people away? It doesn't totally destroy everything they've done. You know, the people that are raiding get something, and then the people that are being raided still have something when they come back.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll have to see. I guess we'll know next week, really, how the people stay.
We'll watch those numbers.
Yeah, we'll have to see what people are like after this wipe. Brian, it's time for the best segment in the show.
The part where you got to go and get something out of the kitchen, or,
well, I mean, in this case, there's nothing to get. I'm just going to be sitting here.
You can run down the hall and get another soda. Did you drink all your Pepsi yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This is normally the part where I get up and I turn off the air conditioner in my room because I'm like freezing at that point. This is where I'm clear to do that.
Well, okay, so this is our tip of the week. What we have every week is a beginner tip and then an advanced tip. The beginner tip is a tip that maybe the first day player, a lot of these people that have just bought the game, something that they may not know. This is an opportunity for even, I guess, not all players, maybe people who play casually won't know all these things, but usually it'll be something that once you've played for a little while, you'll usually know this, but it's something that you have to learn. The advanced tip is something that maybe even a person that's been playing for months may not know that you can do this. So I always like to get something that most people haven't heard of. So this will be our beginner and advanced tips of the week. All right, for a beginner tip, this is something I was playing with some players that hadn't played for a while, and I hadn't realized that most people don't know this. Not all helmets are the same. The motorcycle helmet will stop arrows. It will resist against melee weapons, but it does not stop bullets. So when you're picking up a helmet, if you have the option between a motorcycle helmet and a tactical helmet, generally you'll want to go with the tactical helmet. The tactical helmet does have a chance at stopping bullets. So if someone's going to perhaps do a headshot against you and you're wearing that tactical helmet, it's not a guaranteed death. Also, from what we've seen, if you get shot in the face, there is still a chance that you will die. But there's a good chance if someone's shooting at you from maybe behind or from the side, that bullet will actually stop that headshot. For one shot, once it's damaged, if they then shoot again, you will get a headshot and you will most likely die. So that is our beginner tip. And remember, when you're going and picking up helmets, if you're going to put on a motorcycle helmet, don't expect it to stop that 308 round. For advanced tip, one thing, and I don't think I mentioned this before, but if you place sleeping mats along the inside of your gate, it will stop players from placing IEDs next to the door. So, and it's not biofuel. This is only IEDs. So if you place the sleeping mats just along the edge on the inside of that gate, it creates a range that they can't place an IED in. So the one way that they will have to get through this is they will have to place biofuel on that ramp to blow up those sleeping mats first, and then they'll have an opportunity to place to place the IEDs down there. I think this was mentioned to me by Zacto, who's in our chat here. He actually took me for a tour of his base that I'll talk about a little bit later here. If you're looking for a way to protect your base from being raided so easily, just on the inside of that gate, you can place them. Another thing that you can do is place the sleeping mats along the ramp, but you really have to be careful because if you place them the wrong way, you might not be able to drive your vehicle up. You may end up blocking yourself from driving a vehicle into the base, but it will protect you against being blown up by IEDs. So you have to make the trade-off there. And of course, you can always play with that to see which one, which way it needs to be turned. So that is our beginner and advanced tips of the week.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Brian. I think that pretty much covers it. You got anything else you want to mention quick?
So yeah, Zacto, he took me for a tour of his base here this past week. Mm-hmm. And he had some pretty interesting ideas. He actually sent me an Illustrator file that shows how the base is. If you have a base that you think has a really unique design, maybe some things that you've thought of that maybe people don't know, I encourage you to maybe take some screenshots. We like to use a program, and I should probably make this an advanced tip, so I won't go into it too deeply, but we like to use a program that lets you place them together. And I would normally tell you everything, but maybe I'll do that for the advanced tip of the week next week.
Oh, the cliffhanger. Oh my God. Yeah. What are we going to do?
A way that we can actually show a 3D visualization of what the base is going to look like. And that's a really fun thing to do. But if you have a unique idea, don't be afraid to submit those to us. And like Zacto said, he sent us an email and said, "Hey, I'd like you to come and take a look at my base." And he's another guy who's from Idaho. He's one of the only other Idahoans I know in this game. But he was saying that on those vehicle ramps, they transition to horizontal. So if you place them on the actual ramp, that they, if you place them up and down, they actually turn after a bit. So it makes it so you can't drive up. So just be careful placing them on the ramp.
Well, it's good that you and Zacto are the only two people in Idaho playing H1Z1. I'm sure that makes the dev team feel really good.
Well, I didn't say the only other person I know of in Idaho. I don't know very many people from Idaho on the internet. Well,
that's because most of them probably don't have the internet, Brian. Just going to throw that out there.
I know people on Facebook from Idaho, but that's...
Are they your real friends because they're your Facebook friends?
So, yeah, that is one thing. If you request to be my friend on Facebook, there's a good chance. I'm not saying you specifically, Nick.
I think I'm already a friend on Facebook, so I'm fine.
Yeah, you are. But if someone requests to be my friend on Facebook, usually I won't accept them because that's more of people I know personally in real life. Like a lot of times local people are people I know pretty well. That's why I encourage people to go to my Google Plus, because anyone I know on Google Plus, well or not well, that's an opportunity to friend them there.
All right.
Yeah, my wife is friends with me on Facebook, so, and she's on the internet too.
Does she play? H1Z1? She does have an H. Doesn't she have H1Z1?
She has an account, but she doesn't play because she's working full time and she's going to school full time.
Priorities.
Yeah, priorities. I mean, she doesn't play games with me anymore. What's up with that,
Brian? With an I Aldridge, where can people find you besides your Facebook profile?
So if you want to find me, go ahead and go to google.com/+BrianWithAnIAldridge. Don't spell that whole thing out. It's B-R-I-A-N Aldridge. Or if you want to go to biteoftech.com, and that's with an I. So biteoftech.com on there has all my different contact links. And of course, if you just want to go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, you are more than welcome to go on there to our contact form. If you're interested in joining our clan or playing with us, more than welcome to go to infectionpodcast.com, select plans, and there's a page called Join Us, or you can click one of the links on the right. There's a link to our TeamSpeak. There's a link to our Steam group page. If you just want to know when other people are playing and maybe request, hey, do you want to go into a group BR? Or if you just want to come in and become a member of our clan and join our forums, all those links are on our website.
Yep. All right, Brian, thank you very much for that. Guys, thanks for tuning in for the show tonight. I went through a lot of work to put this show on tonight. Brian and I together went through a lot of stuff.
And we actually kept our time. Like this is our closer to goal time.
Yeah, we're wrapping here. Because I got stuff I got to go do. I'm in New Hampshire.
You're on vacation.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting. My family is out. I'm sure having a great time, and I'm sitting in here with four monitors doing this show.
Yeah.
So the dedication is there. I'm gonna upload a YouTube video of my setup, and I have some other pictures I'll throw up on Twitter or something if people are interested. Guys, thanks for watching. We do the show live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud. We're pretty much wherever you can get a podcast. We're there. Of course, you can go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email or tweet us or subscribe to our YouTube channel, all the links to do that are there. My name is Nick Craig. Infectionpodcast.com is the website. And we'll see you next week for Infection. Have a good night, everybody.